Right now, we want to welcome in Bethany Scheffer. Good morning, Bethany. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hi, yes. Good morning, Marsha. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem at all. And you at the Audubon Center, what is your title? What job do you do at the Audubon Center?
Yeah, sure. So I am the naturalist and volunteer coordinator here at Sharon Audubon.
All right. For people that are listening, how long have you been at Sharon Audubon?
I just actually overcame my one-year anniversary at Sharon. So I started in January of 2020. And like I said, it just came up over my 1 year. So, yeah, happy to still be here after last year.
All right, and you beat the pandemic. You beat the pandemic here. That's great.
I sure did. That feels good.
But still, here we are a year later, and we have some things to talk about. And let's talk about the maple sugaring event. You're on your website, it's titled Maple Sugaring in Connecticut, A Sweet Evolution. It's a program that's going to take place via Zoom on Friday from 6 till 7 p.m. And, of course, this year, once again, via Zoom. Let's talk about the Zoom event and what exactly is going to happen during the Zoom event.
Yeah, sure, not a problem. So we're really enthusiastic about this particular program because we're excited about being able to host one in which people get to learn about the evolution of sugaring here in Connecticut, since it is such a booming industry here in the state. So again, we're really pleased to have a variety of partners involved with us that'll be enlightening participants on just how the industry, you know, began here in the state with the Algonquian tribes of the Northeast, being the first ones to practice harvesting maple sap and then converting it to sugar. Then we'll be looking at how Europeans then adapted that process to be able to suit their needs through the Sharon Historical Society here in town. And then we'll have guests from the Maple Syrup Producers Association of Connecticut informing us about what the industry looks like today in the state. And then, last but not least, because we are Audubon, we have to include a little component about birds and conservation in there. So we're very pleased to have Audubon Vermont then as one of our guests, too, talking about just how a sugar bush can actually benefit birds and wildlife, too.
It's pretty interesting. You know, when I grew up as a kid, Elm Valley Farm is where I grew up on the hill right before you go into West Cornwall and Sharon. And my grandmother used to make all sorts of maple syrup candies and everything. So we used to go maple syruping. And my brothers, my sister, my uncle, my aunt, eventually, I was not let out to collect the maple syrup in the buckets because I would drink it right out of the buckets, right out of the tree. And they had to stop me from doing that. And it did taste good, by the way, when you drink it like that. I don't know how safe it is, how healthy it is, but anyway. But my grandmother used to boil it down, whatever she did, and we had maple syrup basically whenever we needed it. But then she started making maple syrup cookies and everything like that. And, you know, it's interesting to have a program like this because even though I was a participant in maple sugaring when I was a kid, I really had no idea the history of it. And I think that's half the fun when you do something. Especially if you learn about it, to learn about the history of it and how it developed.
Yeah, I agree, Marshall. I very much agree. So yeah, it should be, again, a really exciting opportunity for folks to do just that with us and through our partner organizations. I neglected to mention that our friends from the Institute for American Indian Studies will also be joining us to give us a little look into the history of that Algonquian history behind harvesting sap and converting it to sugar. It'd be a good one.
This program will take place this Friday from 6 till 7 o'clock. It's an online event. You can pre-register. You can go to sharon.audubon.org, click on the sugaring link, and you can go there. Or else on our on-demand page, when we post this up, we will have the links there where you can click right on the link under the interview. But this is a kind of a nice lead-in event because Maple Fest is going to be coming up on the 20th. So let's talk just a second or so about Maple Fest. Mm. That's going to go from 12 to 4.
That's correct, Marshall. Yeah, and this year our Maple Fest is quite a bit different than I've been made to understand it's taking place in the past. It was pretty wild when I got hired in 2020 because I was really getting excited and gearing up for Maple Fest, and then we had – to close our facility and cancel the event. So I haven't actually seen it in its full swing yet. But this year, again, is a little bit different in that we had to go ahead and actually have participants register with us in advance so that we could group them into small tour groups to go throughout the various stations during MapleFest itself. So again, unfortunately, it won't be an event that people can drive up to our facility and kind of drop in and participate in this year, as folks have already had to register for those small groups. But I will say, going back to what you mentioned about the syrup earlier, folks can still purchase syrup through us here at Sheeran Audubon Center. And all they have to do that is just go ahead and give me a call here at the Sheeran Audubon Center, and I can facilitate payment and then pick up for that syrup at any point during.
Okay, and what is the telephone number for people to reach you there?
Oh, yes, good question. Let me go ahead and pull that up.
We're speaking with Bethany Sheffer. Okay.
Here we go. It is 860-364-0520.
Now, you mentioned that you have some partners in this, and I want to mention them because as an organization, I know when we do something, it's always nice to have support. You've got the Sheeran Audubon Center, of course, you Audubon, Vermont, the Institute for American Indian Studies and Museum and Research Center, our good friends at the Sheeran Historical Society and Museum, and like you said, the Maple Syrup Producers Association of Connecticut. And, you know, maple syrup is its own special place all over the world, but especially here, and especially in places where it's produced. There's nothing like it. And I think if people want to join in a Zoom event about the maple sugaring on Friday at 6 o'clock, they'll get a lot more background information itself. And let's talk again about the birding portion of it from your friends from Vermont that are coming down. How is that going to once again filter in with this?
Yeah, great question, Marshall. Yeah, thanks. So when we talk about a sugar bush, oftentimes, or the place where we're harvesting the maple sap, that can become a monoculture sometimes, you know, if we have a vast territory of just these sugar maples. So when we think about diversifying, you know, the trees within a sugar bush and incorporating some other deciduous trees or maybe some softwoods, like some species of conifers, that in addition to maybe some different structure in the sugar bush too. Maybe we have some low shrubs in the sugar bush. We have lots of leaf litter on the forest floor. We maybe have some young maple saplings there. That kind of diversification can actually welcome a greater number of birds into the sugar bush that rely on that kind of structure and those different kinds of trees present. So in the state of Connecticut, we do have several species of songbird that have been found to be declining. So birds like our wood thrush, for example, beautiful songster that we love hearing in the summertime with its kind of haunting flute-like song. Another species called an American red start, and another species, which is one of my favorite, called the oven bird, which really relies on a lot of dense leaf litter on the forest floor to be able to forage for insects. The other two species that I mentioned, the wood thrush and the American red start, really like to hang out in kind of the mid-level story of the forest for nesting and foraging. So again, if we have young saplings present or just small trees in that middle layer of the forest, that can really be beneficial for those guys.
And obviously, that's very simply put how you can see what you'll understand, how one thing intertwines with another in nature, and you might not necessarily think about making maple syrup or maple syrup sugaring, but it all ties together with the worldwide environment.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right, Marshall.
Well, once again, if people want more information on this, sharon.audubon.org, or they can also go to our on-demand page under the interview section to this interview and get the links there. And Bethany, thanks for joining us. It's our first time we've met via the telephone. It's nice to meet you, and keep up the good work there at Sheeran Audubon. It is one of Sheeran's biggest gems.
Thank you so much, Marshall, and thank you for your time today.
All right, take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
That is SharonAudubon.org, SharonAudubon.org. And I should mention that the next maple sugaring event is already sold out, but you can get in on this this Friday. All right? All righty then.